Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Tonight, I have such an incredible guest. On the line, I have Judy Lopresti Murphy. She's 63 years old, originally from Eastchester, New York, lost both her children through an accidental drug overdose, Gina at age 20 in 2006, and Doug at 29, 10 years later in 2016. Judy, welcome to Insight into Healing, and thank you so much for coming on to the show tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, just really looking forward to have you on and to tell your story, because I know as we're watching the news and everything unfolding with fentanyl and all these different types of drugs coming over through the border and all of that, it was important to have you on the show to share your story and hopefully save someone's life or give some people some education on what's going on with this world of fentanyl, of drug overdose, accidental drug overdose. So tell us a little bit of your story.
Well, my daughter passed in 2006. She was actually staying with my mom at the time. My mother was getting older, and she had just gotten out of the hospital. She needed, you know, help around the house. And Gina wanted to go over and help her. And somebody who she wasn't supposed to be hanging out with got wind of where she was staying, and he got her number at my mom's. He called her up, and they went down to hang out in Brooklyn. And the next thing I know, on a Saturday morning, I get a phone call from my ex-husband just screaming hysterically that Gina's dead. And which I didn't believe it until I actually saw her body on the following Wednesday. And then we heard how she died. It was an accidental overdose. She was on a lot of medications to begin with because she was bipolar. And she was tiny. She was only like 5 feet tall. And any little amount of anything really could have done her in. But, yeah, there was fentanyl. And ironically, a week after she died, my son's best friend died of an accidental overdose. And a couple of weeks after that, there was another one. And that's all I kept hearing for months, which turned into years, where all these kids were just dying. And these are kids that were not drug addicts. These are your kids who went out and like, oh, they want to smoke a joint. You know, they didn't do hard stuff. They weren't addicts, but they bought stuff that was laced. And we lost a lot of them. I'd say in the last 15 years, over eight that I know of personally have passed. And my son was being, you know, so against drugs because of what happened to his sister. He moved out of California to follow his dream. He was a special effects makeup artist. And same thing happened. He met up with somebody who gave him something, and at the time, I was in the hospital because they thought I had cancer, which I didn't, thank God. But his roommate actually came over from California and came to my hospital room to tell me Dougie died.
Wow.
So it was hard.
And I think, you know, it's this whole myth that people think, especially kids too, they think if I'm not a hard addict, what's the danger? I'm not hardcore. They don't realize it can happen to anyone with the lacing. I mean, there's story after story of people smoking marijuana and all these kids overdosed because it was had laced with fentanyl in a park. And I think some of them actually passed away from it. And this is marijuana, and people say, oh, it's nothing, it's nothing. That's not, you know, that drug doesn't do anything. But these drug dealers are lacing anything, any type of drug, and it doesn't mean, you know, if you're not really hardcore and you just, oh, I'm just going to go to a party, what's going to happen? It happens more and more, as you're saying, the stories are going, unfortunately, getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, as I was saying before the show, I was telling you about that story I heard on the news about the Airbnb. I guess people were renting an Airbnb. They had a big party. They didn't clean up as well. People came in and probably cleaned up the next day, but not as well. The next group of people, renters, came with a little child, a baby. And next thing you know is the baby died of a fentanyl, accidental fentanyl overdose, because she was exposed to fentanyl.
Yeah.
Because she was crawling around or was on the table.
That's
or
what I would think, yeah. Could have been a little on the rug, and that's all. One drop, that's all it takes.
Yes,
that's all
and
it takes.
And it happened so quickly. And
nothing's
more
being done. You don't hear about, you know, the president doing anything. He doesn't even address it. The last I heard, he left. And that wasn't in my term or something. It's happening to every family I know has been affected by this epidemic. But nothing's being done about it. Nothing's being done. It's so common now. It's sad. We're losing a whole generation here.
And it's so easy to get, too, which is even more frightening. You know, people can get it anywhere, and the drug dealers know that these are such, you know, hot drugs that they literally make them extra strong, knowing that sooner or later it's going to kill somebody. But unfortunately, you know, I've worked with other parents. They said a lot of times these drug dealers do that because, yes, if one person overdoses, the real true addicts were like, wow, that must be a really good batch. We should buy from them, not understanding that it can happen to you. And I think some people think, oh, it couldn't happen to me. It couldn't happen to me. And then it does. And it's so prevalent now. What has life been like for you now?
What are you going to do? You go on. This is going to sound very strange, Alexa, but after Gina died, I lived in Mount Kisco at the time. That's where they grew up. Somebody was visiting a fellow tenant from Puerto Rico, and I happened to be walking down the hall, and this woman was coming the opposite way. She actually grabbed me and stopped and looked at me, and she says, your daughter, she's so sad that you're so sad. She doesn't want you to be sad. And totally freaking me out.
Wow. I just got the chills.
And she said she's okay, but she wants you to be okay. She's sorry, and she'll watch you. But I just thought it was a fluke. It, you know, in a way, it made me a little more relaxed. That's not a good word, relaxed, but... And then, ironically, the same thing happened after Dougie died. I got contacted from his, like, third cousin in Ireland. And I'm like, oh, again? I didn't know what to think until she ended it. And she says his message, which was the same message that Gina had given me, of you have to go on, you have to be happy, you have to smile for us, you have to laugh. And the last two words were, love Dougie Doodles. And that was his nickname when he was a baby. And for his whole life, I called him Doo, short for Doodles. Nobody else was allowed to call him that. And nobody knew Dougie Doodles except me and him. So I knew it was real when it was signed, Love Dougie Doodles. And so I make it a point. I make it a point of I do what they know I love to do. I garden. You know, then I'll see a butterfly and I'll, hey, do, or hey, G. You know, I know it's one of them. And I just go on for them. You know, to be happy. And for them, I'm trying to live my life for them. As they, I really don't know how to explain it. I'm doing what they want me to do. I want to, I'm trying to be happy. And, you know.
It makes them happy.
Go on. I'm not going to go in a corner and curl up and die myself. That's just not me anyway.
No.
But.
And you're a very tough woman. And those for my listeners, give you a little bit of information. I've known Judy since before I was born. Judy was my neighbor when I was, when my mom, my family in Eastchester. So she used to babysit me when I was a little baby. And my mom was just telling me a story that when my mom had me, my mom and dad had me, that it was a snowstorm or something, and you came and shoveled our driveway and did everything. And you know, we were very, very close to Judy and her family. And I know you're a very strong, strong woman and definitely a fighter. And I've had, you know, other past people on the show, and I've had the Pamela Ellis. She's the Berkshire medium, and she speaks to people who have passed over. And I really believe that, you know, she says, said stuff that, you know, for my father and other things, that they do come back and speak to you that no one else would know unless it was, it was them. And I really feel, you know, the cardinals, the butterflies, the dragonflies are our loved ones on the other side, and they,
yep,
they want us to keep moving. They know we miss them, and our heart will always have the kind of that missing piece. But it's moving forward. And I had another person on the show whose daughter, another accidental overdose for Jaina. And the same thing, she said, it just, you know, it's different when you lose a child. It's so painful, but she lives in her memory. And she lives, you know, her showing people and helping to educate people on the dangers of this fentanyl, of heroin, of all these different types of drugs, and how, you know, that one time they think it's just a, you know, oh, it'll just, it won't mean anything. It really could be the last time. And I think, you know, things really have to be done now, because these drug dealers know it's a business. It's a booming business. And I've said this on other shows. They're actually, like, marketing now. So these drug dealers, you know, maybe they're not the same ones we see in the movies and they look like they're on such. These people, this is like their empire. They have marketing brands. They have their own signature logos and names.
Oh.
And they gear it towards kids to say, oh, wow, that looks cute. I think I want to try that. So it's really important that, you know, there's tougher penalties.
Yeah, exactly. It's terrible. You know what made me feel good, though? I had an old classmate contacted me on Facebook. Excuse me. And she told me she had a talk with her daughter before she went off to college, and she told her my story. And she says, you want that to happen to you? Do you want that to happen to me as your mother? And that made me feel good that she was using my experience as a tool to tell a kid, you know, watch it out there. You know, it's dangerous. This happened to somebody I know, and I don't want it to happen to us.
Yeah.
And that made me feel really good, you know, that my loss was able to maybe help this kid to know, you know, don't fool around out there, because you don't know what's out there. You don't know what people are capable of doing to other people. It's just, and it should be in the news a lot more than it is, you know, I mean. And then it goes on in front of you. You see it in the paper every day. What's going on in Seattle? You know, all these cities with all these homeless drug addicts, and doing it right out in the open.
Yes.
And you, these are anything from kids to old people like me. And they're not doing anything to help these people. You know, they just
New York
let
City,
them.
They put them in the hotels in New York City in Times Square, from what I've heard from a few of my friends that are police captains down there, that they're literally in that, where Times Square used to be, where you could go and take pictures and they had all those fun things. They're all drug addicts. They're all people overdosing, high. They're all staying in the hotel, the nice hotels, and then they come out during the day and they're all getting high. And it's dangerous. And, yes, they're trying to give them clean needles so they don't spread disease. But still, that's not preventing the problem. That's not helping anything. That's enabling in some way.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what they're doing.
It just takes over. It just takes, you know, they take over. And, you know, many years ago, I worked in the Bronx with clients, and it almost seems like, you know, that I had some that were addicted to heroin and then went on to methadone. And it almost seems like, for some reason, it was easier to get off of heroin back maybe 15 years ago than the heroin that they're using now. Not that, you know, things have really changed, but whatever they're putting in the heroin now, the fentanyl, you can't physically get off of it. It's so much harder to detox, to not crave it. So it's, you know, they're putting some very powerful chemicals in there.
You know, that's what they call cutting it with something. You know, they cut it. It gives them more product. You know what I mean? Like if they have coke, they're going to coke, you know, cut it with other stuff. I don't know what kind of stuff. Obviously, fentanyl is one, just so they could get a bigger quantity out of it.
Bigger profit.
Yeah. But nothing's being done about it. These are our babies, our youth, you know, our future, and they're just dropping like flies.
Yes.
You know, it's sad. And, you know, if the head of this country doesn't see it as a problem, why should anybody else?
I know. And people feel like, oh, they don't want to talk about it. They don't think it happens in their backyard. But it does.
It's happening in everybody's backyard.
Yeah.
It's everybody's backyard. It's so widespread. Like I told you, every family I know has been affected by it, either in the immediate family or their sister's kid. Or I had this family that I grew up with. I used to call them aunt and uncle, you know, because our parents grew up together. And I finally found him after, my God, 40 years. And he's down in Florida. And he was telling me about his brother who had recently lost his son through an accidental overdose. I mean, it's like everywhere you turn, it's affecting everybody in one way or another.
And they seem to not be able to get the people responsible, or if they do, they're out on bail. And there's a lot of times the drug dealers know they're really not going to – one, how are they going to get caught? And if they do, they get out, and then they go right back in front of, you know, the rehabs, in front of the places where they know these kids are, these adults are. And even, you know, when you start talking about people who've started painkillers because of physical injuries, so many high school athletes or college athletes really got hurt.
Yeah.
They gave them some oxycodone and some other stuff, and then they're addicted. And now they're, you know, they're doing heroin. They're snorting heroin. They're shooting heroin. You know, a lot of times, you know, other people I've worked with I never thought I'd be addicted to heroin. That wasn't my thing to be addicted to heroin. It happened to, I was on something else, and then it led to heroin. And now they get such, you know, such a tough thing to kick. But I think it's so important that more gets done. Insurance companies, something really gets done for longer stays, more treatment, because it's very, very important that, you know, people, and yes, and sometimes the first time they don't get clean. It might take 15, but our kids are worth it. I think, you know, you can't throw someone to the side because they, you know, keep relapsing. Our kids, our families are worth it, and I think it keeps, you know, pushing our insurance companies, pushing our leaders, that this isn't going to go away. It's a money-making profit. People are making money. They don't mind people passing away, which is the most frightening thing.
But it doesn't make the news anymore. That's what bothers me. It's become so commonplace. You know, I mean, all these kids in Kisco that was just dropping left and right. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was like every other week, you know, my son came home with another story about this one OD'd. And I was like, what's going on? You know, I guess I myself wasn't aware of the problem until, you know, 2006. But then I became hyper-vigilant to hearing these stories. And I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to do about it. You know, even now I don't know what to do about it. You know, I talk to people like my coworkers who have kids who are going through this crap. You know, I was always like, look, let me come to the house. I'll set them straight. You know, what's going to happen eventually down the road if you keep on this path? But it should be out there more. You know?
I mean, the pandemic, yes, it was a very serious thing, and it was a very frightening time. But I wish that they would use that same intensity for these drug overdoses and fentanyl and heroin, the same intensity that it's on the news, beating down our throat every day, every time we put the news on. I think we need that. People need to say, hey, get up and do something. We've got to, even though we might not know exactly what to do, it's talking about it. It's what you're doing, coming on the show, telling people, letting, you know, you save one person's life or one person says something to somebody, oh, I heard this happen, I heard that happen. Hopefully that will be that moment for that person to say, you know what, I'm not going to try that today. I'm going to walk away. It's not worth that thinking of 5 minutes of fun where it really could be the last time you take a breath.
Yeah. It's so sad.
It's hard. And I think, you know, the fact that more and more people are just dropping from it it's not, you know, it's an accidental for the kids who are doing it, but it's not accidental for the people that are providing it and that are making the drugs. They
exactly
know what they're doing. That should be, you know, premeditated. That should be an extra crime above the crime of selling drugs and being caught possession in a certain amount. The fact that you've made your drug even tougher where you know people are dying from, like any other company, any other business, if you make a product and it kills people, you get sued. They get, you know, all these, like, talcum powder, Johnson's baby powder. People get sued. There's all these lawsuits. We need to start doing that. We need to start, it sounds silly, but we need to start hitting the drug dealers in the pockets with the money and go after so someone can listen and someone can say, wow, this needs to be really addressed.
Yeah. You know what another problem is? The witnesses, you know, the other kids who are with these kids, right, they don't speak up. Because they're so afraid of getting in trouble, they don't say anything. Like, oh yeah, well we got a bag from blah blah blah, or they don't know nothing.
No. And I know some police departments are trying to make it more of, you know, treat people with drug issues, having a drug issue, not as a criminal to some degree. And I think that's important, too, to have so people come forward, kids, teenagers, college, people come forward and say, hey, listen, I was with this person or I did this person's giving, I tried this. Just, I think the conversation has to be brought up and the dialogue has to happen because living in secret, that's how this keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Well, the kids are afraid they're going to be prosecuted.
Yes.
They don't say anything.
Yes.
And that's,
you know,
that's
sad. I think it's amazing what you do, and I really commend you for coming on the show and telling your story because it saves one person's life. Someone I know listening to this, either a parent, a friend, or someone themselves, this hit them. This hit them and said, wow, I think just changed plans tonight, because of this show, which is really important. And I think if you have to have a thought like, maybe I shouldn't do this, trust your gut, you shouldn't do it. It can happen to you. Not even once. Twice it could happen to you. You're fighting a losing game. This game, you're not going to ever win.
You're right.
And the only way to win is don't play.
No.
Don't play.
You said that perfectly. And you're right. If I could just get through to one person, it would mean the world to me. It really would. You know, I don't wish this on anybody.
Do you do any speaker talks? I know you said you speak to different families, but your story is so powerful, and you're so powerful. Might be something you should consider, because I think kids would listen to you. They know.
It's funny you should say that. I was always very tight with my kids' friends. They always called me Mama Judy. A lot of them still keep in touch with me. You know, they check up on me and everything. And I used to think that, like, wow, I'd like to go to my old high school, you know, and just sit with these kids and just talk to them and see if I could get some sense into them about how dangerous it is. It's not like the old days when I was 14 and, oh, look, someone bought a nickel bag. You know, we might get a little high tonight, which I didn't like it personally. But to be able to make them realize that it's a real threat out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I would love to have you on again and keep up with your story and hopefully your speaking engagements. I can see you touching many lives. And if anyone wants to reach out, please send an email to alexas29@aol if you'd like to reach out to myself or to Judy. If you need help, please send an email. There's always help. There's always a way out. There's always that light on the end of the tunnel. Judy, again, thank you so much. I'm honored to have you on my show. And I love you and adore you, and thank you for everything you do.
Well, thank you, Alexa. Anytime. I'm always here for you.
Absolutely. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Everyone, have a good night, and God bless.